across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Back now on this Thursday morning, May 23rd, 2024. Good morning. Nice to have you back here on Up North News Radio on this World Turtle Day. It is National Taffy Day. It is Crohn's and Colitis Awareness Day. And it is Chardonnay Day. I think we've covered, Greg, just about all of the wines for national days by this point. I don't know. Maybe we missed National Riesling Day. Apparently, every flavor gets a day.
But not the most. But not the most important day. Merlot Day.
When is that? We need to celebrate that one.
Here, actually, I will look at when is national, because if it doesn't have its own day, I don't understand this world, because everything has its own day. Let's see. National
November 7th.
November. Okay. All right.
Which we're going to need 2 days after the election. We're going to need a National Merlot Day.
Absolutely.
The day after the election is National All the Merlot Day.
Brittany, is there a family tree, like Merlot connection that you're aware of to the wine, or?
Oh, like the connection to some good Merlot from, I wish. No.
Okay. All right. You have to ask these things, you know.
When they came to this country, they were called the Merlots, and they just thought it'd be fancier to call them after the wine.
You know what's pretty cool, though, and unique? My mom does have a grapevine just growing on her fence. So I think that's pretty cool. So she grows her own grapes. Yeah.
But we don't know if she makes a Merlot.
No, she doesn't make a Merlot.
Mom, step it up.
Mom Merlot, get on this.
Yep.
Right. Mama Merlot.
I drink that wine.
Oh. We got a busy hour coming up in the second half hour. We have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, joining Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good in our Women Win Wisconsin segment. Luke Mathers will talk to us about Top Chef, a bloody edition of Top Chef after a little kitchen accident last night. Assembly candidate Nick Butler joins us as well. But first off, Brittany has some weather for us after we tell you that Rob from Tigerton says good morning. It's 52, plenty of sunshine, busy mowing the lawn. After finishing a yard in Tigerton, I got caught in a rain and hail storm. Another busy day of mowing before it rains again Friday. I have two lawn tractors. I have to get another operator the way the grass is growing lately. I can't disagree with that at all, because Brittany, we got some nicer. We had a little rainbow here this morning. But now we need to know, where are we going from here with that lawn growing? And as Tony writes in, let's hear the weather forecast. The whole state wants to know the forecast for Ashland, Wisconsin.
So that's all that matters is Ashland.
I get for Tony, he wants Ashland. So what do we got coming up?
You know, Ashland is actually one of my favorite places in the state. So to be honest with you, Tony, I agree. Huge shout out to Ashland. You're, of course, going to be cooler today because you're closer to the lake. So tons of sunshine, though, for the entire state. We've got a high pressure system overhead today, keeping our winds calmer. Now, they will be out of the southwest at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. So that's going to shove our temperatures into the mid to upper 70s. So the nicest, warmest day of the week is today. Soak it up, cut the grass, because tomorrow more heavy rainfall is headed our way and some thunderstorms. So we could see anywhere from 1/4 inch to 3/4 inch of rain tomorrow, and a wet weekend too. But we'll talk about that one tomorrow. Got to leave something hanging there.
Okay, will do. Sunrise at 5:29 now. Sunset at 8:37. Days are getting so long and enjoyable.
Love it.
We do. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll get that full weekend forecast tomorrow morning from you.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
All right. Yep. You as well. It's getting to be kind of an expensive week here on Lake Wissota, Greg. I mentioned the trees that came down in the storm the other day. So we had folks out to who've done tree work for us before take a look at that. I told you the boat engine. The boat's not in because the boat engine apparently needs to, have we're looking at a possible replacement of an outboard engine. Although that gives me an opportunity, actually, because we underestimated what we needed on the pontoon. We ended up, and I don't I don't know how this happened, but we ended up with a 60 horsepower engine on the pontoon, which, as comedian Ron White used to say, you know, goes at the speed of smell. You know, so like, if you have to race, let's say you see some clouds coming in thinking, oh, maybe it's going to rain. So, okay, well, we should head back down the river. We should head home. And we're, you know, we're going down, but all these other boats are like, wah, going through, and wah, goes another, wah, and we're just, you know, slowly making our way down. So it's an expensive week here.
We see a storm coming in 4 hours. We should start heading in.
Yeah, in 4 hours, right? Had to pay for the garage project this week as well. So long story short, I'm going to keep working. For all the jokes I make about retirement, not going to be happening this week.
You know? I gotta make a payment on a brand new grill. I knew that was happening, but I went to go clean it this past weekend, and I'm like, we can't cook on this. We can't. It's just irresponsible.
When I went to visit a friend last weekend, and I saw next to the garbage cans alongside the garage was a kind of a small grill, but it was there. And I was like, oh, what happened? And it was one of those nasty driveway accidents where you back up the car and you think something is tucked over to the side, but you hear the crunch. And yeah, new grill. So these things happen, you know.
Yeah.
Have you purchased the grill yet?
No. No.
Okay. I know if you're making a payment on something that you already had.
No.
So,
Gonna probably start looking this weekend, because when we grilled out for Mother's Day, I got the bug and I'm like, ooh, I want to do this again. And Bridget's like, what's like wings? And I'm like, yes. And then I open the grill. I'm like, we'll die if we use this.
All right. I understand. You know, botulism is not a good thing to serve for a Memorial Day.
Yeah. Why do my wings taste rusty?
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to make on there? Once you get the new one, what are you going to break it in with?
See, I wanted to try this one recipe that I did. I call it a recipe. I don't know if it's a recipe, but I did it a long time ago and I tried it for Mother's Day. It didn't work out as well, but basically you take salmon fillets, mm-hmm. and you make these boats out of aluminum foil, like real tight and real secure. And then you place them in the aluminum foil, you pour white wine over them, and then you just let them cook. Hmm. And you don't flip them, you don't touch them, you just let the wine seep in, you let the heat cook it from all the way, and just, it's supposed to be 20 minutes. I've done it before, but this time, like, I opened the grill after like 20, 25 minutes, I'm like, these are coming out. They're getting grilled regular because I don't want anyone to die on my watch. So I want to try those. And I wouldn't mind cooking some more wings. I like cooking wings.
Oh, yeah. I did, for the first time last summer, I did just boneless, skinless chicken thighs on the grill with, I forget what I used for a marinade. But, yeah, I'm ready for that again. I could do that. I'm glad grilling season is here.
Bridget got one of those boxes from Hot Ones, the YouTube show.
Oh, yeah.
So we got some sauces from them. It's just really good stuff. Two really good flavors, and then a couple spicy too. So
I was gonna say, so if you call in, like, you either can't make the show some morning, or you come in like this, I'll know that you did the wings. You sounding like Beyonce on the SNL skit, you know?
We marinated him in Da Bomba Beyond Insanity. I'm in the hospital right now.
Yeah, I could totally see that. So please be careful.
Yes.
Be careful out there grilling, everybody. You can reach the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call us on that number. You can text us. You can also use the Civic Media app to text or call us as well. Or you can email the show radio@upnorthnewswi.com. There was a press event yesterday put on by the State Democratic Party and by Let America Vote and Citizens United. If you missed it, we talked to Joe Specky in our last hour about it. It was a curious note about Senate candidate Eric Hovde's finances. And it's not just Hovde that's done this. Other candidates have done this too, and it tells me about the need to tighten up the rules on campaign finance, which we already knew had to be done, but needs to be done in multiple ways. And specifically in this case, I'm talking about extensions. Eric Hovde asked for an extension so that we're not going to know his latest financial disclosure information until the middle of July, which means that voting by mail will already be underway for the Senate primary. Now, Hovde doesn't have, he may have one Republican primary opponent, one person who said they wanted to run. So it's not like it was in 2012 when there were three or four significant Republican candidates in the race, but it's the principle of the thing that you already have ballots that people can fill out without knowing what Eric Hovde's investments are in. He has already said in the past that he has invested in companies overseas that, you know, evade U.S. taxes by putting their headquarters overseas, even though all their operations are here in the United States. He certainly has the opportunity to tell us more about what he has made versus, you know, what was inherited for somebody that bills himself as a self-made candidate. And I guess I can just say all this from first-person experience, having had to fill out these forms as a candidate as well. It's not onerous, and it's not onerous if you're a multi-millionaire like Eric Hovde, because you have people who you can essentially snap your fingers and get a report on what you have to that moment. But it's not just Hovde. It's other folks who have also delayed on these forms, or in the case of, say, Donald Trump, who never released important information about their taxes, about what kind of how much are they in debt to foreign governments, foreign entities. These are things that voters need to know. Not every voter wants to know. I get that. They say, oh, I just care about their position on, you know, abortion or whatever the case may be. But it is important to a lot of voters, or it should be. And as a result, I would like to see people run on more of a reform platform in future years. And one of them being that we tighten up these financial disclosure rules for candidates. The Milwaukee Brewers dropped 2 out of 3 to the lowly Miami Marlins. The bats went quiet again last night. Freddy Peralta gave up a leadoff home run, and that was it for scoring for the Marlins, but there was no scoring whatsoever for the Brewers, and so they lost 1-0. They lost 2 out of 3. It's the fourth road series in a row that the Brewers have lost. The team is off today. They start 3 in Boston starting tomorrow night, then back home Memorial Day to open a stand against the Chicago Cubs. Nick Butler, the author turned state assembly candidate, joins us from the Eau Claire area coming up next, wherever you're listening, across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Back in just a moment. As I noted in our history lesson a little earlier today, The Who released their album from the rock opera Tommy on this day in 1969. Hey, Courier Newsroom, a parent company of Up North News, has a podcast, a weekly podcast called Vibes Only. That would be worth your while to give a listen to. Brianna and Glennis, the hosts, discuss what Sam Alito has been up to, the Supreme Court justice, who was engaged in a public display, not just of partisanship, but frankly of allegiance to Donald Trump and the whole MAGA movement by flying certain flags outside his homes, plural. So they'll talk more about that. They'll talk about Donald Trump's speech last weekend to the National Rifle Association, where he, you know, casually floated the idea of a third term in office, an update on the Trump trials as well. So subscribe to the Vibes Only podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and wherever you get those podcasts as well, you can get this one. This show is a podcast all the time as well. You can just head over to your favorite podcast distribution site, look for Up North News or Vibes Only, and give a listen to us on the go. Joining us right now from the Chippewa Valley, author Nick Butler, who's now running for state assembly in the area. There are new lines that have been drawn. The 93rd district, represented for the past 14 years by Warren Petrick, is going to have somebody new running in it after Petrick announced earlier this week that he's going to be stepping down from the seat, retiring from it. Let's see. We've already talked to one candidate who's entered the race, Democrat Christian Phelps, and now Nick Butler is running on the Democratic side as well, setting up a potential primary for mid-August, and in the winter advances to the ballot in November. Nick Butler, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, we appreciate you coming along. It's good to see you. A lot of folks have been talking about and excited about your candidacy. So can you tell us a bit about the process you went through in deciding whether to run and then deciding to run for this important seat in Western Wisconsin?
Yeah, it was, as you know, this is a major, major decision. And if you're taking it seriously, there are some sacrifices that need to be made. You know, I have two young kids who have only known what it's like to have a stay-at-home dad who, you know, dutifully does their laundry and vacuums and picks them up from school and gets dinner on the table because my wife works. And that's going to be a big change for them. My wife is a partner at a firm, and I needed to make sure that it was okay with her and our coworkers before I ran. And probably the most heartbreaking decision was having to quit the Leader Telegram in the Country Today. I'd written for those papers for 5 years and, you know, against the advice of New York editors who really didn't think it was, I don't know, I guess they didn't understand local journalism. And that really broke my heart to have to quit those papers. But that was something that I had to do before, you know, joining the race. But I take this really seriously. For the last 6 or 8 years, I was part of a group of people that was raising money for essentially doomed candidates in the in those gerrymandered races in the assembly. And they were great candidates, as you might imagine. Some of them are my friends, like Charlie Warner or Emily Berge. And so when the maps got redrawn, I just really feel like this is, there's a responsibility, a civic responsibility, to put forth the best candidates you can possible. And I've lived in this community for a long, long time. I've demonstrated who I am in an organic, natural fashion without ever really planning to be here. And I take this really seriously. You can see in my face, my eyes are a little tired because I was up till 1:30 in the morning last night sending emails and going over spreadsheets. I think if you're a sensitive, thoughtful person, the weight of running for this office is a lot, because you take on everyone in your assembly, by which I mean you're thinking about their lives and their troubles and how to solve those problems.
It is like it's like looking into a time machine, man. I'm looking back at 2006 right now, you know, deciding to step down from a popular job, you know, anchoring the news every night. And immediately, as soon as you declare, you know, that you're going to run on one party or the other, you know, half the people who liked you a lot, you know, now suddenly like you a little bit less, and you're taking time away from your family and you're having to raise money and you care about all of these issues. And that's the whole reason why you get into it. So let me ask you, from the standpoint of, you know, caring enough to run, especially for folks who haven't read any of your books or your newspaper writing, can you kind of meld the two? What is it about what you like to write about that then carries over into why you would like to serve as a member of the Wisconsin legislature?
Yeah, great question. Happy to answer that. Well, you know, during the 5 years that I was at the Leader Telegram, for example, I wrote about everybody, Democrats and Republicans alike. One of my favorite pieces that I wrote about was the mail caller, Wayne Myron, who lives south of me in Cleghorn. And he is one of the hardest working guys I've ever met, and cares about the Cleghorn area in a way that I think is probably hard for most people to fully grasp. You know, his family's business has been there for decades. He really, like, it almost makes me want to cry talking about it. He cares about farms, family farms, so much. They're not just his clients. They mean more to him than that. And I don't really know what Wayne's politics are, but I suspect he's quite further right than I am. But I don't care about that. I care about the quality of people's character, and I care about people that care about this community. And so you know, I've been writing about the whole community for these 5 years. And when these maps were redrawn and I looked at them, I thought, my God, this is like a map of my books. You know, it's not just that I grew up in Eau Claire or that my wife grew up in Eau Claire. It's that Shotgun Love Songs, you know, the small town at the heart of Shotgun Love Songs is a place called Little Wing, which is basically an amalgamation of a lot of small towns around here. Oliva, Strum, Independence. So I love this redrawn map. It's fair. It's actually competitive, and it's illustrative of this part of the world. It's got us parts of the city, but it's got the countryside too. So, I tell my kids, I'm just trying to be a good role model for my kids as I go through this. And I say, I don't care about losing in the primary, and I don't care about losing in the general. It's about trying. You know, you just try your best for your community, and whatever happens, happens. That's okay.
And there's going to be just an astounding amount of, you talk about being a stay-at-home dad, heading out, knocking on doors, shaking hands, parades, and everything. And yet I get the impression you're not going to mind that too much, that you've enjoyed meeting folks along the way as you've been writing.
Well, you know what it's like. It takes a different part of your personality, but truly 95% of the people I meet, whether they're Republican or Democrat, they're really nice people. Mm-hmm. And if you use the word help, you know, can you help me get signatures to get me on the ballot? People want to help you.
They do. So to learn more about that, head over to the website. It's Nicholas, NICKOLAS, Nicholas Butler for Assembly.com. Nicholas Butler for Assembly on Instagram as well. Nick Butler, thank you for your time. Appreciate it very much. And I'm sure we'll be catching up with you throughout the campaign here.
Appreciate it, Pat. You have a great morning.
All right. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer coming up next. You're up north. Our Women Win Wisconsin segment is brought to us by our friends at Motherhood for Good. We'll check in with Kate Duffy in a moment, and we are slated to be joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer. We'll look to have all of them checking in very shortly. The thing that prompted today's segment was an interview that former President Trump did with CBS station KDKA in Pittsburgh. So a one-on-one with a local television station, and was asked about not just individual states restricting abortion care or banning abortion care, but could it go to the next level of banning or restricting access to birth control? And Trump said, you know, things really have a lot to do with the states, and some states are going to have a different policy than others, but I am coming out within a week or so with a very comprehensive policy, which I'll get to you immediately. Needless to say, within moments, it caused an outcry that the former and perhaps future president said, within a week, we're going to have a comprehensive policy on states being able to limit access to contraception. So later in the day, Trump took to his tiny social media network to backtrack and put on there in all capital letters, I have never and will never advocate imposing restrictions on birth control or other contraceptives, is what he said on the post after he said what he said in the interview. Because Trump has been so comfortable bragging about his role in overturning Roe v. Wade and returning it to the states. He has really used the state measure as a crutch. There's really no other way to put it. It's been a crutch for him to say, it's really not up to me. Every state can do what it does. And so we end up with this checkerboard of abortion rights or restrictions where a woman has rights on one side of a state line, but doesn't on the other. Trump is comfortable with that and indicated he'd be comfortable with limiting access to contraception as well. in this. And so let's bring in our guests now, Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good and Greta Neubauer, State Assembly Minority Leader. And we'll look to be joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez as well coming up. But for the moment here, let's say Representative Neubauer, good morning to you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to join you as always.
Hey, Kate, nice to see you as well. How are things over there?
Things are good. Yeah. Thank you.
Our favorite new mom. And we have got quite an event that Motherhood for Good is going to be talking about. And in fact, do you want to start with that before we get too serious here? I'm looking at the Motherhood for Good site, and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joins us now. Lieutenant Governor, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, I need your input right away on Motherhood for Good apparently advocating for getting rid of your children. You see, there's this post that they put up on their site at Motherhood for Good on Instagram. And on it, it says here, Thursday, May 30th, 7:30, Sip and Swap, a little village Motherhood for Good collaboration. And the post starts, swap your no longer needed kid. And then I read further, and what it actually says is, swap your no longer needed kid and baby items for new to you goods from the community. But I wanted to bring that up to Kate right away, because I can totally see how, you know, in politics, some people cut a sentence off and go, those monsters at Motherhood for Good, they want to advocate swapping kids. No, Kate, that's not where we think it sometimes.
Well, my toddler accidentally got a red popsicle this morning instead of an orange one. So as you can imagine, this idea isn't sounding too off to me. But yes, it's just a sip and swap for clothing. We're trying to be social, sustainable, not make everything about politics, but a little bit about politics, and just get together, let moms get together and swap the clothes. We all have so many of them, and find new to us things. But yeah, sometimes I was telling Pat, my kid is better behaved for other people. So maybe it's not that bad of an idea to swap our kids every once in a while.
It's again, I'm not going to fight with you there. So again, head over to Motherhood for Good on Instagram and learn much more about that. But now let's get back to the topic at hand, where we started the segment talking about former President Trump indicating a willingness to have state-by-state restrictions on access to contraceptives. Then he backtracked. But as I've said previously, both Representative Neubauer and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, just because he backtracked doesn't mean he's earned any trust on this. And Sarah, I'll start with you. I mean, I think anybody would be wrong to say, oh, Donald Trump would never favor banning access to contraceptive. He hasn't earned that kind of trust, has he?
Absolutely not. I mean, here's the thing. People were saying that, oh, you know, Roe is not going to be overturned. You know, you're hysterical, or you're overreacting. And we now know that was always the plan. And when they were saying that, oh, you know, now we're just going to leave it up to the states, we're not going to be doing anything more on this, that's absolutely not true. You know, they're looking at banning contraception. They're looking at banning IVF. I mean, these are all rights that they're looking to try to take away. And this is because of Trump. Trump owns this. He is absolutely excited and taking ownership of the fact that Roe has now been overturned. So all of these bans all across the country, that is because of Trump. And he needs to make sure that he is taking responsibility for this. And all of this thing with contraception, he's going to go further. We know that. You know, every time he gets a chance, he tries to take more of our rights away.
And we'll start from a federal standpoint here, Lieutenant Governor, that, you know, you're also an advocate, of course, for the Biden-Harris campaign. And the president and the vice president have not hesitated for a moment to talk about where they are on issues like this when it comes to women's reproductive health rights.
It's true. And there is legislation out there. Our own senator actually put legislation out there to make sure that we would have access to contraception. And we're not seeing Republicans actually signing on to this type of legislation. So we know if they get back in power, if Trump gets back in power, we do not reelect President Biden, this is what they're going for next. They're going for a national abortion ban, and they're going to be looking at banning types of contraception. That is what is going to happen if we do not reelect President Biden and Vice President Harris.
And now let's take that to a state level with Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer. And Greta, these discussions are being held in state capitals. And again, with new maps, with fairer maps and some more competitive races, I'm quite certain there's a pretty clear message from Democratic legislative candidates on these issues as well.
Absolutely. State Republicans have done everything that they can to restrict access to comprehensive reproductive health care here in Wisconsin. When we had the 1849 law on the books that meant that women in this state did not have access to abortion care, Republicans did not lift a finger, despite multiple opportunities to come in and pass statutory protections for abortion. If Trump is elected and Republicans retain control here in the state legislature, we are going to have some really difficult times ahead for those of us in Wisconsin who would like to retain access to contraceptives, to IVF, to abortion care. These are our rights. We are not going to give up willingly, and we are going to make sure that people across this state understand that when they cast their ballot in November, they are making a choice about whether they want to have more rights and freedoms or less.
So what started as a discussion about abortion, and now we've already seen how it is expanded to, you know, freedom to access contraceptives, but we've also talked about how in vitro fertilization has been caught up in this with the ruling from the state Supreme Court down in Alabama. So Greta, what are your concerns that at the state level here in Wisconsin that IVF could be threatened?
I think it's absolutely a concern. We've raised this issue a number of times and gotten very little support from our Republican colleagues on greater attempts to cover IVF with insurance. The Senate took this up just a couple weeks ago, and we have not seen any support from Republicans for enshrining people's access to IVF. One of my family members just got pregnant using IVF. It was essential for their family. They're a queer family. This was their option to get pregnant and to bring a new person into their family. And that right could be taken away. And like the Lieutenant Governor said, it seems almost impossible to conceive of that. But it's not, because we have lost access to our rights in Wisconsin before, and Republicans are planning to do it again.
And Kate, let me set you up for the next question, however you want to ask it, but by bringing in a comment from Tony up in Hayward saying that if Trump wins, he will probably appoint at least two Supreme Court justices under 60, and the court will be to the far right for decades. And as I've said, not because it's, you know, in the mainstream of American values, far from it, but for all kinds of reasons of political mischief. You're looking at a U.S. Supreme Court that, again, could be out of the mainstream for over a generation, Kate. Now, I'll toss that to you for however you'd like to throw the next questions to our guests.
Yeah, I'm glad Tony said that, and that's something we try to talk to our community about a lot. This isn't just about who's going to be in the presidency for the next 4 years. There is likely going to be a couple of Supreme Court retirements, and whoever is in that seat will replace them. And we know that, like, this is Trump. Trump has taken a lot of control over overturning Roe and all of these restrictions. And also, it's a much bigger play by people who have been working on restricting rights, abortion rights and related rights for decades. There is people who have been stacking the court, who have been kind of working on this for a very, very long time, who were very happy when Roe was overturned. And now they're starting to kind of chip away at IVF and contraception, things like that. And I would love to ask for Lieutenant Governor, you know, we talk about when he says, oh, we'll just leave it up to the states. We'll leave it up to the states. We know that that's not really what they mean. It's kind of just a little bit of a deterrent from trying to take the heat for all this stuff, because I'm assuming at the state level, we know that there's still like federal strategies where the states work together and put out related legislation. Are you seeing those kind of things? I mean, we see, are there legislation happening in the states that's related to what's going on in other states?
Yeah, they do tend to coordinate in terms of the states trying to do those restrictions and making them similar. We've seen that with some of the Texas laws and how that maybe has gone to Florida. And you're looking at that across the way. But one of the things that I want to make really clear is that if we do not reelect President Biden and Vice President Harris, and we have a national abortion ban, there will be no safe place in the entire country for women to be able to get access to reproductive health care. And some people may feel, well, you know, Ruby Red Kansas actually passed a constitutional amendment to be able to enshrine abortion rights within that state. That will no longer matter. When you have a national abortion ban, there will be no safe place for people to go. And it is so critical that we have access to this type of healthcare. As a nurse myself, I know what it looks like when women don't have access to reproductive healthcare. It is dangerous. We have higher rates of maternal and infant mortality in those states that have enacted these just draconian abortion bans. We know this from our clinicians. And so this is what really should scare all of us about not reelecting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and having a second Trump presidency. These types of things are going to go all across the United States.
And Greta Neubauer, to you as well, you know, and Sarah did as well, serving in the legislature, the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, this far right group, is one of those that helps coordinate what your Republican colleagues do to, you know, keep this legislative train going of far right bills that get introduced.
Absolutely. The Republican legislators in Wisconsin are looking to other states. They are looking to see the ways that legislative Republicans across the country are restricting access to comprehensive reproductive health care, and they are taking their cues. Republicans are organized. I would encourage people to Google Proj 25 if you need to know what the plan is for the coming years. And of course, look to the most restrictive bills that are being passed in other states, because I feel very confident that Republicans in Wisconsin are going to be introducing those here soon. And we just have to do everything we can to make sure that they cannot pass them.
Without a doubt. Greta Neubauer, Assembly Democratic Leader, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, thank you all so much for calling attention to this. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
All right. Luke Mathers is next. You're up north. Oh, let's see. Let's head back up to Tony. Tony says, talking about the hot sauces earlier, he once did a whole list of Hot Ones sauces. And Greg, his comment here is, oh, man, with a whole lot of H's after the O. So I'm not sure if I'm taking that as a recommendation to try the Hot Ones sauces on my wings next time.
Let me be very clear, Pat Kreitlow, on something here. I like some spice. I'm not going for the 500,000 and above on the Scoville scale. I want to taste the food. I don't want to taste my own tongue on fire. So
my bones are on fire.
can you please remove my bones and replace it with ones that are not? No, we cannot do that.
Rudolph as Beyonce is just so good.
That was such just a good so pick. Good. Such a good pick for host.
Now, Greg, I might have kind of set you up while we wait to be joined by Luke Mathers here, because I offered you this comment from Tony to offer up this comment from Tony, bringing in Luke Mathers. He asks, will there be talk of chef testants?
You know, Tony, I thought you were on my Tony. Side.
Yes,
on this will. Horrible non-word, but I guess not. So
so there goes Greg.
I'm just going to turn off all. I'm just going to press one button and turn it all off.
Yep. Hi, Luke. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm fine, Luke.
You didn't ask me how I was doing, Greg. How are you, Greg?
I let Pat take control. It's the Up North News of Pat Kreitlow, not just this shrubby guy named Greg.
Fair. That's fair. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for asking.
Good.
You two good now?
Greg, are we good?
Is he still handsome and powerful?
I think we're just trying. Greg's just like, whatever I can do to run out the clock so I don't have to talk Top Chef.
All right,
Greg's just like, He's kind of pulling the conservative Supreme Court. It's the Supreme Court. He's got to run out the clock. Don't let the trial actually happen before the election. He's just slow rolling it.
I was about to compliment you and said, yes, Luke Mathers is still handsome and capable. And now please talk about last night's Top Chef. There you go.
Oh, well, here we go. All right. Mr. Mathers, we're on episode 10, where we have six chef testants left on Top Chef. And let's see, where did we get started here? Oh, yes, the quintessential Wisconsin cultural quirk, the meat raffle.
A meat raffle.
Raffle, which...
So much fun.
Was it, though? Was it so much fun?
They did a very basic version of a meat raffle. They just did the bingo ball roller, and they picked and names that way.
There were very fancy cuts of meat out there, Chateaubriand and ribeye, but there was also lunch meat and corned beef, and so you wanted
canned
to be picked.
Canned corned beef.
You wanted to have your name picked early so that you could get something like that, because Sue... He ended up with the lunch meat. Savannah surprised everybody. She drew third and yet picked the canned corned beef. And in the end, she actually won the quick fire.
Yeah.
She won by making a dish from her winnings with the meat raffle with the corned beef.
She saw the options right away, and she had a good idea in her mind when she saw she came out and said, "I love corned beef." And so she shocked everybody else in the quickfire by going and picking that one first, because there were better options out there.
Yeah.
But she knew exactly what she was going to do with it. It got a little bumpy in the middle of execution, but she knocked it out of the park and she won the quickfire.
Michelle, who's one of my favorites, she has the barbecue restaurant. She tried to, with ground chicken, tried to make some fancy chicken nuggets. That didn't work out.
Did not work.
Danny got a very nice meat lamb, but cooked it just a little bit too long. And I loved Dan's comment. Of course, Dan was not, for a Wisconsin guy, not a fan of meat raffles to begin with, but he did refer to it as something that was super scony. Yeah. So I thank him for introducing super scony to the national lexicon out there.
I think it's important to point out, too, that just because there is one aspect of Wisconsin doesn't mean that everybody in Wisconsin loves that part. So, yes, meat raffles are quintessential Wisconsin. Doesn't mean every single Wisconsinite has even been to one. No. And so, Dan, I was kind of similar with the elimination challenge. Not over the moon.
Dan's not a fan of fish boils either. No. So I kind of worried that he might be, you know, again, there's some times where it seems like he's like, I'm done. I'm just going to, but he did just fine throughout the course of the day there. They were taken out outside after the quick fire challenge and introduced to the concept of the Door County fish boil, which is now where I'm going to say, because again, we're not affiliated with the show. We're just talking about it. It's a good Wisconsin show, but I'm going to say I am really disappointed that they didn't go to Door County for this. I thought they were going to go to more of Wisconsin, but instead, you know, they went to a Grant Park Beach in South Milwaukee, perfectly nice place, but I really fault them for not spend a couple of bucks and take them up there.
I was a little surprised. I thought that they were going to be going to Door County for this episode, so the fact that it did take place just in southeastern Wisconsin was a little shocking, but the fact that they brought in some all-stars, that was really great.
They brought in past Top Chef winners and or chef testants who helped do the grocery shopping for all the current contestants.
That was an added layer of challenge to the episode as well, though, because not allowing yourself to be the one to go cook, that's tough, or to go shop, that's tough.
But it was also a nice bit of camaraderie, because you could sense they were like, wait, are they here to throw curveballs at us? And no, they were actually there for a little morale boost, and I thought that worked out well.
And one of my favorite contestants of recent seasons, Shoto, was there, and it's always great to see him.
There was then the incident where Savannah cut herself badly while deboning one of the fish for the fish boil, and eventually had to go to urgent care, and it really
got stitches and everything.
Diminished the quality of what she did there on a very hot, very windy day on the beach. I did enjoy it because it was so hot. I enjoyed seeing all the bottles of Liney Summer Shandy that were being served up.
The cans of Shandy.
Cans, rather, of Shandy that were there. In the end,
And Pat, this was the one honestly, going into the elimination and final table, I did not know who was going to go home. Like, this was truly a toss-up from the way that the fishbowl went down for the three contestants that were in the bottom.
Yeah. Now, Danny, who'd made stuff with carrots before, because I guess he had a lot of carrots, you know, in his upbringing, used carrots again and actually won. He and Dan and Michelle were in the top three. Savannah, Manny, and Sue were the bottom three, Savannah with the stitches. But because she'd won the quick fire challenge with her corned beef, it actually saved her. So between Manny and Sue, you had the one guy who makes things too simple and Sue, the guy who puts too much into it. Mm-hmm. And it was Sue who ended up going home.
Yeah, it was upsetting to see that go. So we were down to five, but there is still Last Chance Kitchen. So there's one more chef testant lingering in the background. We don't know who yet. And don't spoil it for me because I didn't get a chance to watch Last Chance Kitchen last night.
Oh, okay. Nope, I got nothing there for you. I just know that next week they said it's a meal that you serve on a tabletop.
Yes, so, and that will be very avant-garde and fun to watch.
It will be. Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Appreciate
Absolutely, Mr. Kreitlow.
Okay, Mr. Bach, we'll see you. We'll hear you. Matt and Air on Air coming up in just a couple of short hours here. So you have
we'll
a great
see Pat
day.
On Todd Alba's show later this afternoon.